Well, we're so excited that you're with us this weekend. We get to wrap up our series, week four of Costly Grace. It has been an incredible series. I want to welcome everybody that's watching online, joining us at any of our campuses. So glad that you've chosen to be part of this weekend service. And this series so far has been amazing. It's a four-week series, and we're wrapping it up this weekend. As Pastor Rob has shared numerous times opening up these messages, it's really a series about growth. It's really a series about discipleship. It's really what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And it's about going deeper and discovering more and learning more. So we've talked about it numerous times that it's a growth series. And that's what this weekend's message will be about as well. And I just want you to know one thing I just love about our church is that I've been in church work a lot of years, and you go around the country and you see different things, and sometimes you find out that there's churches that are all about love and grace and mercy and celebration, and sometimes there's other churches over here that are kind of about commandments and lordship and servanthood and stuff like that. And I don't know about you, but I am so thrilled that River Valley Church is all about celebrating God's goodness and embracing his lordship. Come on, isn't that good? Because that's our church is. We're about the both and, right? We're not just about this, we're about this as well. And it's a package deal, and we get to be a part of just a healthy church where God is doing healthy things. And so that's so fun to be a part of that. So just love that so much. And I'm going to begin this weekend's message by asking you a question. So I want to ask you to participate again, but just at this early part. And it's going to be a really easy question because you're going to have a lot of company as we begin to participate, okay? So the question is this, and you need to be totally honest, right? Because we're in church here. All right, so here we go. How many have ever in your life, you've ever been pulled over for speeding or another traffic violation? Raise your hand. Come on, just put it up. Look around at all the sinners, everybody. Come on. Seriously. So true, isn't it? Hey, let me ask you, how many of you have ever been pulled over and only given a warning? Oh, look at that. We're a church filled with grace, aren't we, too? Huh? Now, when that happened in that moment, when that police officer gave you the warning, I mean, come on, be honest. What did you do? Were you like, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus? Because totally that's how I was each time it happened. But I mean, seriously, it's one of those things that you're just like, wow, that's so amazing. And I don't think you probably didn't after the police officer gave you the warning, said, here, thank you, Mr. Poli, and be safe and drive wise and all that kind of stuff. And when the police officer walked back and got in their car, you probably didn't roll up your window, crank the music, squeal your tires and speed off, did you? Right? Why not? Because you're not crazy, right? Right? We wouldn't do it that way. And it's one of those things that police officer extended grace, and you're so thankful for it, and it made you kind of respond differently as you left. And it's just a great illustration to set up the book of Romans. The Apostle Paul kind of intros this for us. And he talks about, here's what he's saying before we read the scripture. The Apostle Paul's saying in Romans, he's saying, you see grace like this, that its scope is about this big. And he says, I need you to see that grace is so much bigger than just the limited perspective of how you're looking at it. He's like, grace is so much bigger. And he says he's going to draw an example so that we can understand. He's saying to all the leaders, all the listeners, the watchers that are listening to him teach, he's saying, don't look at grace just like this. Understand that costly grace is really very expansive. And so Romans 6 in verse 1, and then we're going to drop down to kind of towards the end of the chapter and read verse 15. It says this, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Any time in the New Testament especially, you see the same chapter basically repeat the same point or the same question. That, how many know that that is for emphasis' sake? And so the first time Paul says, hey, so should we keep on sinning so that God has to give us more and more of his grace? And the Apostle Paul's like, that is absurd, right? It's crazy to even think like that. He says that you're missing the point. And then later, just in the same chapter, it looks like he's asking the same question. He is, but just a little different. And this will tie into what we're going to look at in a few minutes, a little later in the Beatitudes where Jesus was teaching. But he says, since we're no longer only under the law, and now Jesus has come, and we don't just have the Old Testament thing, we got the new love and mercy and grace as well, so should we keep on sinning now? And again, he says, same answer, of course not. That would be absurd. And so Pastor Rob and our creative team, all of us that were part of this series, we're thinking, how could we describe this? How could we illustrate this? How could we paint this picture about the scope of costly grace and how big it really is? And so we're going to show you a video that's going to speak to each and every one of our hearts, and I think it's going to be a blessing to all of us. So let's watch this together.
I'm here today with Mike Duff, and he is a funambulist. And for those of you that don't know what that means he's a high wire walker. He walks in dangerous places. I feel much more comfortable with homiletics, and that is just the preaching of the word. But he's going to actually give me the skill set and try to see if I have the skills to become a funambulist.
So here's my balancing pole. You get a nice wide grip with it.
This is a lot heavier than I thought it was.
It is heavy. This is 43 or 44 pounds.
I'm already shaking. I can't imagine myself on that cable.
Grab the pole, like you just had it. 1 foot on the cable.
You want me to hold the... Okay.
Yep, you got this. Ready, go.
Step up.
All right, try not to move it side to side.
Somehow I feel like you're helping me a little.
All right, so straighten your feet. All right, it's all you. All right.
Seriously, can I try it without the...
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't reach back. Socks would be better, maybe?
Try it in socks, sure.
I always fall this
way. There you go.
All right, I have realized this is not my gift, and I'm going to tell you right now, I want to see him do it, but I think we want to raise the wire.
That sounds like a plan to me.
As I see Mike walking on this high wire, I can't help but think grace is really a safety net for us in our pursuit of holiness. God has called us to walk the high wire of holiness, and it's a hard walk, let's be honest. Being formed in His image is not an easy thing. It requires us to die to ourselves and to sacrifice and change. But thank God for grace. Thank God for a safety net that's below us that catches us when we fall. It doesn't excuse us to jump off the wire and jump into sin and do whatever we want. That's cheap grace. Costly grace says it's there for us when we fall and if we fall, but it's not permission to live carelessly. Let's live costly grace and pursue holiness with everything we've got. Did it. I'm proud of you and relieved.
Come on, that deserves a clap, doesn't it? Oh, that was amazing. I mean, I was here just last Friday. We were filming that. I was up on the roof just praying. Our insurance people didn't come around. No police officer comes around. We were living in grace just filming that thing. And there was no trickery there. Mike was walking that high wire 30 feet off the ground. There was no camera trickery, and it was just an incredible, incredible experience. If I was to share with you one key truth that I don't want you to miss as we wrap up this series that kind of encapsulate what we're talking about this weekend, it's this. So don't miss this. This is the key truth. Grace and obedience are inseparable. Grace and obedience, they're inseparable. You can't take one without the other. They're both intertwined. They both have incredible benefits, but they're inseparable and they're connected. And Jesus taught this, and Paul was trying to explain this, that grace isn't this thing that operates separate from obedience, but they're so connected. And that if we are to be disciples and followers of Christ, if we're to kind of be on that high wire at times where we're trying to walk the straight and narrow and be everything that God has called us to be, we have to look at it and say, okay, you know what? I understand that grace and obedience, they're inseparable. They're connected. They're part of each other, and they have incredible benefits. But they're also designed to work in conjunction. It's so, so important. So let's look at Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to read a lot of scripture this weekend. We're going to jump in verses 1 through 10. Then we're going to read a few more verses 17 through 19. But I want to give you a little setting and context, because I'm going to read a little more scripture at one time than we normally do. But in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's known as the Beatitudes, Jesus teaching the Sermon on the Mount. It is actually all one teaching that Jesus gave, covering three chapters, 5, 6, and 7. It was early on in the ministry of Jesus, just a few chapters earlier. He was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist and just starting his ministry. So it's very early on. And we also understand that this was the longest recording teaching of Jesus Christ. So the Sermon on the Mount, which starts with the Beatitudes, is the longest recording teaching of Jesus Christ. And if you go to the end of it in chapter 7, which we won't take the time to go there this weekend, you'll find out that the response of the crowds, there was thousands of people there in addition to all of his disciples. The Bible says that the crowds were amazed at his teaching. They were literally blown away, and they were talking about how they had never heard religious leaders teach this way, and Jesus just really truly amazed them with his words and with his teaching style. So let's jump in. It says, one day he saw the crowds gathering. Jesus went up on the mountainside and he sat down. His disciples gathered around him and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realizes their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Now jump down to verse 17. Jesus still speaking. Don't misunderstand why I have come, he says. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus gives us this instruction, and you need to understand what's taking place here, because there was actually a group of Israelites that had this promise that the new Messiah was coming. And many at that point had not recognized Jesus as the Messiah, but more and more people were recognizing him. But this group of people, of Israelites, there was a group that literally believed that this new Messiah would come and he would overturn or replace the Old Testament with this whole new approach to living a life for God. And so that was their belief, that the old was going to go away and that there was going to be this new system that was going to be instituted. And so now when you see the words in verse 17 where Jesus says to them, don't misunderstand why I have come. You remember that? He says, don't misunderstand why I have come. And Jesus is saying, I need you to explain that. I need you to catch this. I need you to understand this. He's saying, I didn't come to say that the commands and the standards are all not important now, and that grace and love is the new standard. He said, I didn't come that way. I didn't come for that purpose to say, this is the way it is, this is the way it is, right? He says, I came to say that the law and the commands and the standards are important and vital. And I also came to share with you that there's now this grace, empowerment, strength, mercy side that helps us do everything that God has called us to do. So when you look at what Paul was saying in Romans and you look at what Jesus is saying here, they're both kind of saying together, and don't miss this point, they're saying, I need you to understand that grace is so much more than a safety net for our sin. Grace is so much more than a safety net for our sin. It includes that, but it's so much more than a safety net for our sin. And as Jesus was teaching this, he was like, you don't get to choose this and say this is more important than this. And it's not where we're ranking one above the other. It's both and this isn't more important than this. They're both very important. And so when I was thinking about this and just trying to get my head around it and my heart around it this week, I was just thinking of, because sometimes in our lives we're faced with the decision just in practical areas or maybe even in church areas of what's more important. And sometimes we're faced with the option to rank something. And how many know sometimes they're both important? So I just wanted to stir your mind a little bit and ask you a couple questions about what's more important to kind of stimulate our thinking here. So let me ask you these. What's more important, sermons or worship music? Okay, now don't reply. Don't struggle with it. Don't reply. Because I know you're all going to say sermons. But what's more important, sermons or worship music? What's more important, moms or dads? Seriously, don't reply. Seriously, right there. Moms or dads. What's more important, a cell phone or a data plan? Okay, now if you have a young teenager, I just helped you. You got to let it sink in a little bit. Okay, because sometimes I need a data plan. I'm 14. Just, you can give them a choice. Cell phone or data plan. What's more important, cash or credit cards? What's more important, the Vikings or the Twins? You notice the T-Wolves and the Packers didn't get a mention there, okay? So what's more important, a comfortable bed or a big TV? What do you think, men, women? I don't know, right? Okay. What's more important, Bible study or prayer? Bible study or prayer? What's more important, a vacation trip or a global trip? What if we used vacation to go on a global trip? That's a good idea. All right. What's more important, being in a life group or serving? Being in a life group or serving in our church to be a blessing to other people? And just one more practical one. What's more important, steak or seafood? Now, come on. How many of you know that's both right there, isn't it? I mean, they're so, so important. Just processing through this series, I don't know about you, but I've been learning a lot every week of the series of Costly Grace. And sometimes people ask me, Pastor, you know, as a Christian, as a disciple, as a Christ follower, so now that I'm serving God, will I experience blessing or suffering? And the answer is both. Will I experience abundance or times of lack? And the answer is both. Pastor, will now my life be marked by joy or sorrow? Sometimes I'm going to have some of both, right? I mean, it keeps going and it keeps going, and we look at it and we say, Lord, help us understand that it's not this or this, but your grace helps us live in the both and. And so I want to look at the Beatitudes just for a few more minutes. And I want to kind of focus on where Jesus said, blessed are those. And then he begins to describe the way certain people are and the reason they are blessed. Because I think River Valley Church is made up of people of all different walks of life, at all different seasons of life, and all different places in their faith journey. I really believe that. And it's so exciting to see what's happening at all of our campuses, locally and around the world. But I believe there's a common denominator in our church, and I believe the people at River Valley Church desire God's blessing upon their lives, desire God's pleasure to be upon their lives. And so let's look at this, because that's what Jesus was saying. These are the type of character traits that I bless. So God says, blessed are those who are merciful. It's the first word he uses. God blesses those who are merciful. God blesses those who mourn. God blesses those who are humble. God blesses those who are peacemakers. God blesses those who realize their need for him. God blesses those who have a pure heart, the Beatitude says. A pure heart. God blesses those who are persecuted for following Christ. Because sometimes those moments of challenge and difficulty creep into our lives. And lastly, Jesus said, God blesses those who passionately desire God's righteousness. Those are the kind of people that God blesses. And there's a thought that God dropped in my heart this week, getting ready for this weekend's message, and I want to share it with you, and I hope you grab a hold of it, because I think it really supports what we're talking about. And it's simply this: grace doesn't lower the standard of obedience. It provides the empowerment to live that standard. I'm going to say it again because I want it to sink into your heart. Grace doesn't lower the standard of obedience down to here. Grace, it actually provides the empowerment to live the standard that God has called us to live. That's what costly grace is all about. Remember our key truth that we started the message with, that grace and obedience are inseparable. And they really are. And I dug a little deeper in this passage because it kept using the phrase, blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those. And anytime you study the Bible and we're all learning it together, I looked at the word blessed because there's a context and a meaning we understand, but often in biblical terms, it encompasses much more. In the context of Jesus' teaching here, I want you to kind of understand, here's what he was saying, and here's kind of the scope of the word blessed that he was using. It's defined this way: an exclamation of the inner joy and peace that comes from being right with God. An exclamation of the inner joy and peace that comes from being right with God. So these people are blessed with these character traits in their lives because they have this inner peace and joy that they know that they are right with Jesus Christ. And it's so, so important. So allow me to kind of share with you just a few takeaways. And I call this kind of what's next part of costly grace. Now that we've done 4 weeks on it, and Pastor Darren, I'm going to leave this weekend's services, and how does it change my life? How do I live differently? Or what am I to do with it? Or what are the practical steps for each and every one of us? And I want you to know, I felt really strong this week that these few takeaways I'm going to share with you, they apply to everyone that's part of our weekend services. You may be brand new to Christianity. You may be a longtime Christian. You may be a pastor, a leader. You may be a leader that's watching online. You may be somebody that's far along in their faith journey. Some people that are just exploring Christianity. I think these will apply to you. I know they will. And so I want to phrase them like this, that costly grace compels us to, or because of costly grace, now that we have a grasp on it, it compels me to do these things. And they'll be up on the screen for you. So here we go. Costly grace compels us to forgive and be forgiven. To forgive and be forgiven. We can't understand and fully grasp costly grace unless we understand that we are called to be forgiven by Jesus Christ and to seize that opportunity, but also that we've got to extend forgiveness to others. Because when you understand costly grace, you realize, wow, I have been forgiven for so much. Right? So much. And I've got to extend forgiveness. Costly grace compels us to show mercy. To show mercy. Costly grace compels us to let go of revenge. It compels us. Did you know revenge isn't our responsibility? It's not our thing. It's not what we're supposed to do. Did you know God doesn't need our help with it? Right? He doesn't. Costly grace compels us to let go of revenge. Costly grace compels us to embrace purity. Jesus said, blessed are those who are pure of heart. Costly grace compels us to embrace purity. Church, we can't embrace costly grace and have a 10% area of our life in darkness. We can't have dark corners or dark secrets that we don't let Jesus Christ come in and speak to. We can't have areas over here that are not subject to the lordship of Jesus Christ. We've got to embrace purity. We've got to go for it. We've got to say, God, I want your best. Costly grace compels us to be humble. Humble. And sometimes I think of how blessed I am. Amazing wife, amazing kids, incredible experience, get to serve at a great church. God has blessed us in so many ways. And I want to be reminded that regardless of the wins, regardless of the blessings, regardless of whatever moments of success, and it's all come because of God's goodness. Because of God's goodness, right? God is so good, so we're going to embrace humility. Costly grace compels me to give generously. To give generously. We're not going to take the time to do a teaching on giving here. I would just encourage you, if you understand costly grace and how much Jesus has done for us, boy, you just want to be generous. Costly grace compels us to pursue holiness. Pastor Rob mentioned that in the video, pursue holiness. And that's one of those things that it's not about legalism or just a list of rules. It's about, God, what is the standard that the Bible has for me and the standard you're telling me to live by? And I'll live that way. And I'm going to pursue God's best in my life. And I'm going to pursue God's holiness in my life. I'm not going to abuse grace. I'm going to embrace it and say, God, I want your best in my life. So it compels us to pursue holiness. Kind of a little different one here, but it's so true. Costly grace compels us to enjoy our faith. To enjoy our faith. Come on, church, smile, right? Did you know God wants you to enjoy your faith? Did you know that Christianity should be a blast to live, right? It should be. I mean, come on, it should be so exciting to be a Christ follower. I mean, there's moments of difficulty, absolutely. But Christianity should be this incredible journey as well, where we filled up with the life and the power and the strength of God, and God wants us to enjoy our faith. Costly grace compels us to obey quickly. It's the last one I'll share with you. To obey quickly. To quickly respond to steps of obedience. We like to sometimes use a phrase, because it's easy on us when we use this phrase, that's called delayed obedience. I think we like it because it's easy on us, but the phrase isn't biblical, delayed obedience. And this is going to be strong, but it's just, again, teaching. Do you realize that delayed obedience is really disobedience followed by obedience? That's all it is. Because when I know I'm supposed to obey and I'm just delaying it, right? I'm disobeying. So let's not be like that. Let's obey quickly. Myself, all of us included, Lord, help us. Costly grace compels us to obey quickly. So let's read one more passage of scripture in Romans chapter 12. And then I'll share a few things and then we'll wrap up and just kind of take a moment with God in this service. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn how to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." I love the two words in that verse that says the two words, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. I love the confidence of the two words, which is. It doesn't say God's will might be, right? It says God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. And I love the confidence of those verses that we can grab onto and say, Lord, I love it that your heart and your desire for me is that your will is good and pleasing and perfect. And so I'm going to wrap up by just sharing a story with you really quick. And all week long, I was getting ready for this message, and an experience kind of popped back in my memory that I think illustrates this pretty well and kind of will take us into just a moment of prayer with God. And a few years ago, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, Jane and I were in the market looking for a new car, and we were shopping for cars. We ended up making a purchase from a dealership here in the Minnesota area. And one of the customer service features of this dealership, and you know, just to make your car buying experience enjoyable, one of the features was that they had a 3-day, 500-mile return policy. That anytime within 3 days or 500 miles, if you change your mind, you could return the vehicle. No questions asked, no haggle, okay? No questions asked, no haggle. So we had the car for a day, and I just didn't feel right. I thought, oh, we should do something different and whatever. Long story short, I ended up returning the car and came back to the dealership, found out that they were pretty good about it, except they weren't true about the no haggle or no questions. That didn't happen. But ultimately, we had this dialogue, and they took the car back and said, thank you very much. I didn't buy another one from them. I just returned the vehicle. How many know that cost the dealership something? Yep. It does. They have to re-detail it. That costs a couple $100. There's paperwork, business office, title work, whatever. They have to either stop or pause or redo or so. So it costs them something to do that. As I was in this moment, there was a lady not too far from me in the business office, and I could hear her because she was a little frustrated because she took advantage of that opportunity 3 to 4 weeks earlier with the car she returned. And now she was back in the dealership trying to return her second vehicle. And they proceeded to tell her that this grace opportunity that they've extended is a one-time offer. She didn't like that very much. And they began to explain that in the fine print it says that this is a one-time opportunity. And I was just reminded this week, I'm so thankful that our God doesn't say, I offer you grace one time. So thankful that God says it is not a one-time offer. He says, don't abuse it. Don't take advantage of it. Don't treat it lightly. But it's available to you. Get on the high wire. Try to walk the straight and narrow. Try to be a disciple, a follower of Christ. But if you're on the journey and you fall off, you have that safety net of grace to cover you. And it'll be there for you. You can count on it. And when you receive that grace, get back up and say, I'm going to be a champion. I'm going to be a warrior for God. I'm going to be the disciple he's called me to be. And I'm going to do everything I can to honor him. Because our God says, my grace is offered to you. It's costly, but it's free to you. Utilize it and let it be a blessing to your lives. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this message. I thank you for this series. I'm glad that Pastor Rob felt led to take our church on this journey together. Love what you're doing in our church, God. I love how every series we're in and every message of that series, including this one today, speaks to each and every one of our hearts. None of us are done growing. None of us are finished. None of us have figured it all out. But you're calling each and every one of us to be your disciple, to be your follower, to not shrink back, to not abuse grace, to not make excuses, to by no means keep on sinning just because we have grace. But you're calling us to a life of holiness and purity and true discipleship. So Lord, we're discovering what that means. And Lord, when we think about the Beatitudes and where you describe these people are blessed and these people are blessed and this is blessed and this is blessed, Lord, I pray you would just speak to our hearts as we close this service. You just speak to our hearts. And church, with our head bowed and our eyes closed, I want us just to take 1 minute, just 1 minute. And I want you to just listen to anything that God, by his Spirit, may want to point out in your life and say, this needs to change, or this needs to come, or this needs to go. Any spotlight that God wants to shine in your heart where he wants you to respond in obedience. I want you to just take 1 minute just to listen and to pray and to respond appropriately in this moment together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.